Lieutenant Worf's hair grows a foot overnight. Admiral Shanti tells Captain Picard to assemble his fleet. And Sela doesn't fall for Picard's trap. Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Seventh Rule with Sirach Lofton and Denise Crosby.
Happy Hello. New Year, everyone. Happy New Year.
Absolutely.
The return of Denise Crosby for this very special episode. We're doing a review, by the way, my name is Ryan T. Husk, of Star Trek The Next Generation Season 5, Episode 1, Redemption Part 2, written by, say it with me, Ronald D. Moore. This guy knows. Directed by David Carson. This was September 21st, 1991. Where were you? Ronald D. Moore, he knows about Klingons. And they always got him right in the Klingon episodes, as Sirach has noted in the past. How you doing today?
Oh, man. Kicking it off, you know, with you guys. Off the new year with a powerful Sela episode. That timed out pretty darn well. It's sort of maybe a good omen for the year.
We need one.
Yeah. We need Sela out there.
Yeah.
I think she could make some stuff happen, you know?
Yeah.
And she knows when to retreat. I liked that. I forgot that.
Yeah.
You know? That's really a heroic, you know, that makes a hero when they know to draw back, you know, fall back.
Klingons don't know that.
Mm-mm. Oh, my God. How about that headbutting?
Yeah. Well, Denise, it's so good to have you back.
It's so good to see you again. Yes.
Before we hit record, I swear, as soon as you came on, it felt like no time had passed. It felt like we were right back to spring of 23 and we're hanging out. We're talking. Denise is going, what were they thinking? And we're saying, is that Denise's legs or a cardboard cutout of her? You know,
oh,
but we were also
God.
Having fun. We just referenced your wave like last week, I think it was, the wave you did on the way out. Anyway, it's so great to have you, Denise. It feels like no time has passed, and we missed you.
Oh, you guys, I miss you too. You know, I always love, this has been just so much fun. I can't believe spring of 23 is when we started this nonsense. Oh my goodness.
I think it was January to like May or June of 23.
Wow. I mean, seriously, it's crazy. And it's gone so quickly. And, you know, there's so many aspects to doing this with you guys. Just again, watching, I have not seen Redemption 2, Part 2 in, you know, 8,000 years. And it was such a great refresh and fun to watch on so many levels. And, you know, always good to hang with you guys and your group that you've assembled, many of whom I've met now in the last year and a half.
Sorry about that.
Cities.
They can track you down wherever, whatever city you go to.
They hunted me.
And Sirach, you've never seen this episode either, right?
No. First time seeing this episode. Super surprised when I saw you at the very tail end of the first part of this episode. Mm-hmm. I think you just had one line at the end of that. But to see you in this episode, to see you come back in general at the end of the fourth season, beginning of the fifth season, I thought, I'm like, wow, am I looking at Tasha Yar? Is this the same character? And they did a lot of clarification with that. But what did you think when they called you out of the blue and said, hey, we want to bring you back?
Well, here's the thing. I pitched this idea. I had pitched this idea to Rick Berman. It sort of came about from the Yesterday's Enterprise episode, which gave the story was that Lieutenant Castillo and Tasha Yar were romantically involved. And I thought, what if Tasha Yar was pregnant with Castillo's child when she goes back on the Enterprise C, which not only is part, it becomes part of her reason for going back, because this is the father of her child. Not only that, it's the right thing to do to set, things straight, but it's a noble thing to do because of who she is, her character. But also, if she's pregnant with his child, she's going to go back with him. And then what happens in the battle with the Romulans, by scanning, she's left alive and realizes she's pregnant and decides to keep her as a prisoner so that they can raise this child as a bartering tool with the Federation. That was my pitch. And it's sort of, in all honesty, and I saw Mary McDonnell this past year at a con. It kind of came about from Dances with Wolves. I don't know how I got the idea in my head that Mary McDonald's character, if you remember the movie, she is a white American woman who in a battle with Native Americans, everyone's killed, her family, but she is raised by them. And she, in all intents and purposes, is Native American by tradition, by beliefs, by dress, by attitude, by nurturing, nature or nurture. She has adopted that until Kevin Costner comes and, the whole thing. She comes in contact with her white American side. I thought, how interesting if this child of Tasha Yar was raised solely Romulan. Solely Romulan. And would the arc of the story would be she has to uncover her humanness and eventually could be a bridge to peace with the Federation and the Romulans.
Okay, so Denise, this is really, really interesting. I had not known any of this. This is really good stuff. But there's more to this because do you remember around when this was that you did you pitch it around yesterday's Enterprise, or did you pitch it, do you remember
A little
around
bit
when it
later.
was?
So yesterday's Enterprise is what, season
Middle
three?
of season three, yeah.
Season three. So season four, the end of four. So somewhere before four.
Okay, so I'll tell you
I
the
mean, somewhere
reason.
before, you had
The
26
end of
episodes.
four.
There was a lot before the end of four. Somewhere after three, after yesterday's Enterprise, I started the wheels started rolling, and I started to think about this and think about this, I took a shot. I called Rick. He was gracious enough to have lunch with me at the commissary. It was just he and I. I gave him this story, and he said, "Interesting, interesting. Let me think about it. Let me think about it." I thought, okay, he's just being, he's being kind, and that, sorry, we'll call you, we'll call you.
Don't call us, we'll call
Don't call
you.
us, we'll call you. So, I got a lunch out of it, and I got it out of my system. And sometime later, not that much later, he said, I like your idea, but we're gonna change it. So it's not Castillo's child, but Tasha does go into the battle and she's captured, hence the story that Sela tells. And she's taken as a concubine from a Romulan general. And so your daughter is half human, half Romulan. Because he said, I can't seem to justify what time would you and Castillo have had? And I said, well, I don't know how long it takes you, Rick, but I mean, 5 minutes, honey,
There's a janitor's
in
closet
a
right
running room,
there.
I mean,
We're all gonna die. Let's just go for
it's not that long. We could have snuck
it.
off, when Captain Picard was lecturing or something on the bridge. But so, because
Okay.
there's oftentimes no time span on these shows. You don't know how many
Right.
days have gone by.
So the reason I was asking of this specific time is because Strzok might remember this. The fourth episode of season four is an episode called Suddenly Human, almost like the Suddenly Seymour song. But it was an episode in which a kid gets captured by a human kid gets captured by a different race, and he's raised as one of them. And then they're gonna now the Federation's gonna save him at like 15 years old, but he doesn't want to go with the Federation because he is this other race. And then Picard is faced with this dilemma of, do you save this child, this teenager, and bring him back to his
His
family,
grandparents, biological
or do you
grandparents.
let him stay with the only people he's ever known? So I'm like, I wonder
That's
if chicken or the
fair.
egg, right? I wonder if
Yeah.
you made that pitch and then they said, well, it won't work here, but it could work here. Or if you made that pitch and they're like, well, we already have this episode we're working on here, but we like that Denise is willing to come back. That's already a guarantee that she's willing to come back. So let's work this in a different way. But that's why I was kind of
Interesting.
curious about that.
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't I haven't seen that episode, and I don't know what that would have been interesting
It's a
to,
good one.
have
Well,
taken notes, you know, which day did I have that lunch, you know, and oh, interesting, you know. It's like
well, you couldn't have a better writer than Ronald Moore write this episode because the language of it was just rich and it just felt well written. And so the dialogue, I just kept finding myself writing down words after words. I'm full of dialogue on my notes, right?
I saw a bird of prey and the Klingon emblem too in that little in that your
Oh yeah,
notes.
we're there.
Oh, that ship looked so beautiful. That
Yes.
Romulan warbird.
Yes, it did.
Wow, I hadn't seen a shot like that. I went, whoa, that's a really fine looking ship.
I thought also David Carson did a fantastic job directing this episode. I felt like I was transported at the Klingon Empire inside of the bars, inside of those dark sets where you were and on the ship. Really was done well as far as taking me on a trip.
He really juggled very distinct looks too, you know. He made each environment distinct from the other. And I always loved working with David Carson. He was absolutely one of my favorite directors.
What was he like?
Just an elegant British man who was you know, calm and knew you just felt safe in his direction and his understanding. And it wasn't like he brought another sensibility than just sci-fi. You know, it wasn't like I never got the sense he was a big sci-fi guy. He was more like, what are we talking about here as people? You know, as forget that we're, it doesn't matter where we're, if we're in this universe or that universe, but what are we getting here at this, you know? So when you see, I love that scene with Picard and Sela when she's explaining, you know, what's going on, just her, how she, just her body language and, you know, the intention of the scene is so clear. It's so clear and simple and direct. And he did that. It wasn't comp, you know, it just there just was an ease. It wasn't a lot, it wouldn't tell you a lot. TV directors, they don't generally go on and on and on, nor should they. But he just knew, you know, he's just a very experienced man. I was trying to remember, and I forgot to do this afternoon. I somehow think I worked with David Carson again, like almost in Ray Donovan. Like I'm wondering if he directed any episodes of Ray Donovan.
Well, I got
Well,
one
I
way to
worked
find
with
out.
David Carson on Deep Space Nine. He did the pilot for Deep Space Nine.
Oh, see, he was very well, that makes sense
Best
because
pilot.
he was really one of the better directors of Next Gen. And when you do a pilot, you know, that's a whole other level of a director.
And he did a fantastic job in the pilot. I remember working with him as my young self, and I felt that he was very relaxing and calm and felt confident in what he was doing. Like you had faith that he was getting it done. And reminds me of when you said, who does he remind you of or what is he like? Ryan, I thought of Paul McCartney. It's kind of weird, but
Oh, that's cool, man.
yeah.
That's a good
And I
person to
would
be
marry,
like.
and it's that
Yeah.
mellifluous, British accent that you just already feel like you're in good hands
There's
with
something calming
this
to it
guy.
then.
This guy knows acting and actors, and he, I know it's driving me crazy because I know I've worked with him on something else outside of Star Trek,
Well,
but
I could run over the list real quick. Check this out. Nat, I was thinking maybe Nash Bridges is an option. We also have let's
never.
see, in that frame, South Beach, Shameful Secrets, Strange Luck, From Earth to the Moon, Letters from a Killer, Martial Law, LA Doctors, Man Made, The 10th Kingdom, His Life, The John Lennon Story. Hey, that's cute. Celebrity, Witchblade, Odyssey 5, Carrie, Birds of Prey, Karen Sisko. There's a lot of Star Trek things in here. One Tree Hill, The Days, Unstoppable, Smallville, Runaway, Blue Smoke, and The Dresden Files.
No, I martial law. What was that? Maybe
I
I
don't
did an
know.
episode.
Alien Nation.
I can't even remember. I mean, was I on martial law?
There's also LA Law, no, Northern Exposure.
LA Law, I did, for
Maybe it was that
sure.
one.
Yeah. Could have been.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought this
That
Ray
guy's got
Donovan.
a lot of credits. Yeah, I didn't see Ray Donovan there, no.
Okay.
Unless he maybe was a
So,
producer on it, not a director.
no.
Okay.
So Denise, how was the vibe now? Because you had now, obviously you were in the first season, then you come back and you do a temperature gauge on the third season when you do yesterday's Enterprise. What was the temperature like on the set? What was the vibe like here now, beginning the fifth season of this show?
Well, again, I only worked with Patrick of the
Right.
cast.
Right.
Everyone else were the guest stars, the Klingon sisters
Lurse and
and
Bator.
right.
Yeah, that's a good group
And
too.
my this guy, my faithful servant.
Mobak or something, I
So
think his
really,
name
yeah,
is.
what so I didn't
Mobak or something,
I didn't see anyone.
yeah. Okay.
So it was really like, and it was, I remember Patrick and I, just being great to see each other. And, I was really focused on making sure I had all my words, all my lines. I don't want to mess with this guy. He scares me a little bit. It was always acting with him scared me a little bit. But in a good way, like you better have,
Be
you should
ready.
be
Yeah, be
ready.
ready.
You're not, especially me leaving now and having the sort of great privilege of coming back. I've got to really be on my game. And it's funny because I was watching the scene he and I had, and I thought, yeah, I worked hard on that. I made sure I could nail that scene because,
You talked
and
about the
I
body language. You talked about your body
yeah.
language in that scene. It showed like that, there's you've got this certain presence, then you push more with that presence, and then you kind of
Yeah.
let go and open up a little bit, and there's a change there.
Yeah, I mean, I the dynamics of the scene, I had to be, as I had to take control of that scene. She's not going to let him, belittle her in any way. So it was kind of fun to like kind of fuck around a little bit with that, because Tasha, and there was the distinction. If you people ask me, like, how do you go from Tasha, what modifications or changes, if any, and of course there are, because the whole personality of Sela with Picard is the opposite of Tasha and Picard.
Yes, completely,
Right? Completely.
completely.
So
Yeah.
she's not only his equal, but in her mind, she's superior.
Yeah.
Or Tasha, that would never, And
Right.
again, I was always alluding to the scene that was my audition, that was never filmed, which I've told you guys about, where Tasha is really having second thoughts about being the security chief on this because she doesn't feel she's entitled, or able under Picard. He's so great that I'm not worthy. And, Troy talks her down off the edge.
That's how you played Tasha. You did play Tasha as a subordinate to Picard, and therefore you would defer to him and whatever his advice was on that particular issue. So he was the man in charge giving orders. In this case, you really did match him as far as I'm in charge of my stuff, just like you're in charge of your group. And so we're on playing fields of a level playing field. Actually, I think I can outsmart you. And I love that gamesmanship of this episode. That was one of the great highlights of the episode for me, was the chess match between you and Picard of, I'm going to open this part of the game. I'm not going to fall for that trap. I'm going to do something else. The chess match that the two of you played, I thought that's what really made the story wonderful.
I agree. And just the surprise and the disbelief that Patrick did so well of, it's Tasha standing in front of me, and I want to see her and how he reconciled that. It's interesting that if you think about something that drastic happening, something so out of left field that you wouldn't have, Guinan comes with this sort of little nugget that is so outrageous that I'm surprised that there wasn't a scene really where all of the cast came together in some notion of explanation of grappling with this. I mean, Troy and Dr. Crusher are there going, this is just, there's no way. I mean, but Troy is saying there's no notion of disbelief. I mean, there's no lying here going on. I'm not picking up anything. And Crusher's going, absolutely not. She could not have been pregnant. So there was no real kind of, I mean, that's something. It would have been nice at the end of if everyone came together in some way, the cast, and went, this is unbelievable in some way, what we've just seen. They didn't ever know that Sela was out there or that this happened. Rumor. So
I think it's a
I agree with
casualty of
that.
a 45-minute episode, because I feel like that is something that's missing. But what they tackled in this episode was so big. I honestly felt like I was watching a movie. I was like, you just spent the whole budget of the season, you guys. Congratulations. What are you going to do for the other 25 episodes? But it was so big, and they were trying to tackle so much that I'm sure they just had to like really condense everything. But let's get into a break and talk more about this episode, because this is really good stuff. And we will be right back on The Seventh Rule.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach integrier- und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Seventh Rule with Ciroc Lofton and special guest Denise Crosby.
Good one.
All right, here are the trivioids of the week. Everybody right now is going like, why did he over-enunciate everything? It's because the first time I screwed up and you guys didn't see it. Here are the trivioids of the week. Worf's hair grows a foot overnight. The Enterprise arrives at Starbase 234. Fleet Admiral Shanti tells Captain Picard to assemble his fleet. Geordi is going to put up a tachyon detection grid. Picard orders Riker to command the Excalibur with Geordi as first officer. Captain Larg always had fools working for him. Kolge challenges Gowron's leadership, and Sela doesn't fall for Picard's trap. All right. So back into this, we were talking about, you know, kind of the bigness of this episode, and it, there was a point, I feel like midway through it, where I felt like I was like, we're watching a 45 minute movie, but this felt like a big budget thing, with the fact that there are like three, four, five different ships going on. There are all these different groups that were spread out. Everybody's going off and doing their own things. There's special guest stars. There's all these actors and different races in play. The big budget. It was beautiful.
Yeah. David Carson did a great job. You know, and some of these, you know who I loved? I mean, apart from Admiral Shanti, Fran Bennett, who she and I had... I had the privilege of working with her on a all-female cast of Richard III here in LA with the LA Women Shakespeare Company. And she was our vocal coach. I mean, that's how formidable, you know, she was. And it was extraordinary to work with her and to understand language and voice and breath, what she could teach. She was incredible. But I mean, yeah, you're right. Oh, and you know who I loved? Who played Mr. Hobson?
Let me check. He looked familiar, but I don't remember what. I don't remember what I've seen.
Oh, yeah, he was
Timothy
good.
Carhart.
Oh, Timothy Carhart works so much.
Yeah.
That guy was absolutely one of my favorite guest stars I've seen on this series. His tone and the way he delivered those lines, that hint of, you know, sarcasm and outrage and that he has to take orders from a machine was so well and so underplayed, just threw them away. It was, I just hadn't remembered how good he was.
It's pretty, he's in Yellowstone right now too.
I mean, that guy, I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised either. He was very good. He irritated me. I was like, what is your problem, bro?
Yeah. Right? But you just got it. Like, the guy was so fucking
He was up. So good at
he
just
played
being.
It so
oh, my God.
Beautifully.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's, he's maybe my favorite guest star I've seen so far.
Wow. Yeah. I praise.
This one was packed with favorite guest stars, including yourself. I thought you were the. I thought this whole episode was carried by the guest stars, in my opinion. I don't think it was about the cast as much as it was the guest stars. You've got Gowron, Tony Todd playing Kern.
Right.
You've got the Duras sisters smelling on Worf. I love what she
does. Oh my
right.
They just go for it, those girls. They were so bold and brave.
So big. And the whole sniffing him and like I just went.
Like chewing on his beard. I think you. And it was like, oh, you know, they were, I couldn't keep my eyes off them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whenever they would come on.
Whenever they came on, they were fantastic.
That's a good point. There were a lot of big time guest stars. Lursa and Bator. You had Gowron, you had Tony Todd playing Kern, you had Sela, not to mention the Romulan guy whose name escapes me. Then you had this guy that was going against Data. That's
Christopher Hobson.
And O'Brien, you know, Colomini to a certain extent as well.
And Admiral Shanti.
And Whoopi
Shanti,
Goldberg. Yeah.
And Whoopi. Oh,
by the way,
let's just mention Whoopi. That's right. That's right.
Huge.
That's right. Huge.
She had a great line for Picard when he was like, "There's no way that it could have happened," and she was like, "Just that." The way she said that. I know you think you're right, but you're wrong.
Absolutely.
Sirach gives me that look a lot. That's It's kind of humbling.
No, I got it. But I thought this episode, like we were talking about, literally carried by all of the guest actors that came on to deliver fantastic performances. I mean, the look in your eyes when when you discovered that they were leaving an opening there for you to pass through. And while you were watching the monitor and your, advisor was telling you, like, now's the time. This is what we've been waiting for.
And the wheels are
And
turning right there.
yeah, and the wheels are turning in your head, and I can just see you, and you take your time and don't respond right away. And you're just like, just looking and looking and thinking. And he's impatiently like, come on, what are we gonna do? And you're just like, no, I know what Picard is thinking. And I'm gonna outsmart him in this. That's why I'm saying the gamesmanship there was so good. I really enjoyed.
I just want to piggyback on that because just right after that, Denise, you had a great look. And of course, David Carson, bless him for getting in on these close-ups so that we can see these performances. But then when I think it was your last line, you said, tell them they're on their own. And you've got this stern look. And it's one of these dramatic soap opera things where they just stay on you uncomfortably long. And as an actor, you're probably thinking, like, how long is he going to stay until he says cut? But you have this stern look, and then there's kind of a moment where you relax into like a different kind of feel, like a an acknowledgement or an acceptance, like, okay, on to the next kind. There was just a very slight change, where the long close-up afforded you the opportunity to have that kind of depth in that final note.
And thank you for saying that. That's lovely. Also, though, uniquely in this particular episode, David wasn't afraid to let the camera linger. So you're able to see what they're thinking. That there's a process going on. She's trying to, analyze the situation and then make a decision, and he allows the camera to not to deliver the line right away, and that you're thinking. And you see Sela do that with, the opening and the tachyon beams and where the ship is going to pass through, and decides not to do that. But you also see Sela thinking about what to do with the Garon sisters.
With that situation,
Yeah, the
with
Duras sisters.
Duras sisters,
The
yeah.
Duras sisters. That they're we they're on their own.
We could see you writing them off, like, well, it's a loss, it's a write-off. This is not a winnable
That's their
situation.
problem.
That's their problem.
Well, this is what's so interesting about that character is, she's pretty ruthless with her.
And we like that. We like that because it gives me a chance to. And I wish they were writing this kind of stuff. Once again, it's crazy how they figure out how to write for you as an actor after you leave. Because now these are the best performances for
You're
yes,
so
yes,
right.
Enterprise.
Well, as we know, I always I had to die to get, some good episodes. But it's, again, that first season did not have the Michael Pillars and the Ron Moores and the Iras and, coming in and, like writing. Man, I would have, who knows what, I'm sure I would have still been on the show. But, you can't. With those, with where it was stuck in that first year, it was stuck in
They
the 60s.
didn't have a vision for you,
They
and they
didn't.
didn't have a direction or a vision for your character. They didn't utilize your abilities. They had you basically standing around doing one step above background work. It's like, I don't want to just be standing here.
I watched this episode thinking, when I saw Colm, that he was in my uniform, color uniform. He was saying my lines. Colm has become Tasha, at this point. Next time I see Gollum, I mean, I didn't know that you were playing Tasha in the Next Generation.
You know,
Listen,
I will
I
say it
he
was
will
nice.
not know what the hell I'm talking
No.
about, but
But
might,
it
might.
was really nice to see him actually at Tactical, because usually he's in the transporter room. And
Transporter, yeah.
then when Picard was talking with Troy and Beverly in the conference room, I was thinking, oh, why don't you have Chief O'Brien in the conference room as part of the meeting? That's your senior staff. But then I was like, nah, it's even cooler. He's got the bridge. Chief
Yeah.
O'Brien has the bridge right now, just like
That's
Tasha did
right.
back in the day.
Nobody else is on it, you know, at that point.
He's running the show.
Yeah, I was happy to see him too. I mean, because we always do see him in the transporter room, so he actually looked good standing there in the bridge, you know.
They were starting, you know, we always loved Colm. I mean, that you're seeing it happen, you know, Colm just develops from, you know, a smaller part. I mean, I've been there. I was a small part on Ray Donovan, and then, you know, it just kept going, you know, and bigger and bigger. But yeah, that's what was happening with him.
I noticed that Brent Spiner played Data with more emotion than usually does in this
Yeah.
particular episode.
Yeah, where did that sternness come from?
He had some fiery comebacks. Like when he tells the guy, he says, "Request denied," and
Yeah,
he
I
kind of puts his
loved that. I
head
loved
Yeah,
that
it was
delivery.
hilarious,
Absolutely.
but you know
Yes.
what it was, why Data was so unhappy, why he kind of like came out like stern and angry. I mean, he just saw that that Tasha Yar hooked up with another guy. And so he was taking it out on Commander, what's his name? He was like, just do it. I'm so pissed off at you right now. And the guy's like, I
I
was just
say
asking,
fire.
sir. That's why he was so
I
mad.
know.
Poor guy, you broke his heart.
Believe his little Tasha got away. Yeah. You know what was interesting though, I noticed in the scene. So, you know, Picard is allocating command to Riker, and Geordi will be his first officer, and we'll get this ship and this ship and the Hermes, and you know,
Yeah.
how Kirk says these, you know, it's
The
Hermes, but you know,
Tiananmen.
get the Hermes,
Yeah.
and you know, da, da, da. But and then Data wants a word with him and asks him, you know, why he can't, as a senior officer, command a ship.
Yeah.
And Picard says, well, because you know, you're wanted, I think you'd be useful here. And he says, well, I think, you know, 26 years in the Federation, da, da, da. And on a dime, Picard changes his mind. Just on a dime, he turns and he says, well, I think you'll be good for the Aristotle or whatever, you know, needs a captain.
Yeah.
And I just was watching it, I thought, well, what changed like that for him just by Data saying that?
I think it was one of two things, and this is just a guess on my part. One is that maybe Captain Picard secretly had reservations that a crew might not take well to an android captain, and he was thinking, now is not the time to have any ifs or fears or potentials. Like even if it's not right that they're going to have problems with him, if there's that possibility right now, we're in the middle of a civil war. We have to just be, So maybe he thought of that and was kind of playing it safe. Or maybe he just really meant it that he needed him here. And then when Data said that, Picard's like, no, he's right. I don't really know which one it's supposed to be, but that's just my two guesses.
I like what you first said, that you know, maybe really Picard knew that this could happen, you know,
Yeah.
that the Mr. Hobson could be, you know, right around the corner, and that it might, because I'm assuming there's no other androids
Right.
in that
There aren't any.
position
No,
commanding
there
at
aren't.
that
Yeah.
point. Yeah, so that's pretty radical. See, that would have been
Yeah.
interesting for him to say. That's a very radical first approach. You know,
Well,
are we
that could be
ready
an
for it?
episode by itself.
Yeah.
That topic could have been an episode by
Yeah.
itself, where
Yeah.
Data gets command of a ship and he has to essentially we're looking at some kind of a form of racism, right?
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
A bigotry,
right?
Based on him being an android, but it resonates with those same notes.
Same thing.
So when he said to Picard, "Hey, like, am I not qualified? Like, I've been here 26
yeah.
years."
It
rang the note of like, "Oh, you're being held back because of a glass ceiling that we've
because
already
of,
put open."
Because
and
of who you are, not what you
because of who you are.
What
right.
foreshadowing of, you know, what we're dealing with now with AI, or what we're about to deal with AI.
AI for president.
Do I want to get on, you know, the American Airlines flight in about a year from now? And it's, you know, all computerized flying it? I mean, it is computerized flying it. But there's nobody flying it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if there was a data,
you know, or a
pilot,
a
if there was a pilot that was a robot, would you?
Yeah.
Would
I'd
you be, say, get me off of this flight?
I'd be Lieutenant Hobson, too. I'd be like, can
yeah,
we have
right?
a person?
I mean,
just any human.
I remember flying with my husband, Ken, and we could see in the cockpit, and a female was flying. And he was like, wow, okay. How do you feel?
And you're like, I'm
you
fine.
Kidding me? Did you just ask me that? I said, yeah, watch, man. It's going to be the best flight ever. But I mean, and you know, it's a natural progression of things. It's our natural evolution. So it's, but what an interesting.
I mean, we already have driverless cars that I see.
I saw one today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm in Culver City,
mm-hmm.
I've seen
coincidentally, I know a lot of brainless people. That's kind of it's similar. You're like, who's driving this person?
Those driverless cars are amazing.
It's scary though.
Yeah, they're a little scary to me.
I know, so, but man,
it's
they
time.
Know how to do it.
So I would be like a Hobson to a driverless car. Like,
me too. Me too.
What the hell's going on in here?
It's time for our home run of the episode, everybody. We're almost out of time here, but Ciroc Lofton, who gets the home run of today's episode, would you say?
Oh, well, I'm going to say, and I know it's kind of a general thing, but I want to give the home run to all the guest actors who made this episode fantastic. With Denise at the top of the list for coming here and sharing her experience and, you know, just really knocking these scenes out. Like that cliffhanger of seeing you coming out of the shadows and looking like a Romulan. I mean, just like, it blew my head away. I was like, I couldn't wait to see this episode. And I can only imagine for those people who watched this when it aired, they had to wait a whole off season before season 5, episode 1 comes back on and they get to see you. So
right.
The big, you know, the tease must have been ridiculous. Thankfully,
right.
You know, we're in a different era now. But yeah, the guest stars made this feel like a motion picture. I felt like I was watching movie quality filming. It could have easily added another 45 minutes and there goes your hour and a half and that's all I need for a movie. So it was riveting. It was well written. The directing was awesome. But the home run goes to the guest actors who just really sold it for me.
What do you think, Denise?
Wow. Well, God, well said. And, you know, I have to absolutely agree with Ciroc. But I'm going to say, I want to give the home run to Rick Berman, who allowed me to present an idea that originated in this character of Sela. And allowed me the privilege to come back and make something of this role and to play and to give it a shot and to be free to create an extraordinary character and idea. The daughter of Tasha Yar. I mean, it still is there. I mean, I hope one day we can continue this storyline, you know, in some fashion, if someone would, you know, We can just put it out in the universe and hope that it can happen, because I think she's such a riveting character. So I'm gonna give Rick Berman this one.
Must have been so fulfilling too, like after leaving as Tasha Yar, to like be able to come back to this franchise when it's gotten so much better and be a part of it in a completely different way, in a different character, but still related to. I mean, it just feels like such a great homage, and like really feels like it must have made, left that sour taste in your mouth kind of go away. But I don't want to speak for you, but I
Yeah.
was just kind of thinking of that. It just really seems like it must have helped a lot to kind of make amends of the past.
For sure. And I think yesterday's Enterprise was, really the thing for me in that regard. But this was like a now and like an another door opened, that I never would have seen coming,
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, home run for me, I was gonna say Sela and Kern, but I'm wrong. Sarak is right. It's like there are way too many guest stars in this episode that all do. So this has got to be overall easily the best performances and group from guest stars in this whole series. We've never had like seven amazing guest stars and guest roles and guest characters. Like, we've never had the quality and quantity all in one episode. So, yeah, I agree with Sirach. I'm changing my answer to copy off Sirach's homework, and I'm going with what he said.
Peter.
I really am. And I'm copying these names right now as well. Their names are, special thanks to Dr. Anne Marie Siegel, Eve England out in Wales, Yvette Blackman, Tom, TJ Jackson Bay out in Missouri. They got good barbecue there. Titus Muller, Dr. Muhammad Noor, who just had a birthday, Anil O. Palat, Joe Balsarati, Mike Gu, Dr. Stephanie Baker, Carrie Schwent, Faith Howell, Edward Foltz, the Matt Boardman, Chris McGee, Justin Weir, Jake Barrett, Henry Unger, Allison Leach Hyde, Julie Manasfi, Jed Thompson, Dr. Susan V. Gruner, Glenn Iverson, Dave Gregory, Chris Sternett, Greg K. Wickstrom out in Maui, Oahu, I
Wow.
think, actually. Cassandra Gerard, Chuck A., and of course, Jason Oaken and Texas's own Chris Garris. All right, everybody, stick around. We've got the free for all up next. We will be right back on the seventh rule.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach integrier- und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
Well, hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the seventh rule with Ciroc Lofton and Denise Crosby. This is the free for all with Melissa Longo.
Hi.
Oh, it's her birthday, by the way, everybody. Happy birthday, Melissa.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
With Jason M. Oaken, not his birthday, probably.
Hello,
Chris Garris
everybody.
is out in Texas where they don't allow birthdays.
Yeah, right.
Hello.
Along with
Eve.
women's rights. We won't go into that.
Yeah,
Eve
no.
England. Eve England is out in Wales, where every day is a birthday. Chuck A. just wants to talk about Star Trek
Yep.
because he's a TNG fanatic. Carrie Schwent and Justin Weir are hanging out together. That's pretty awesome. And
Wow.
the Dark Lord, Chris McGee, is ready to drop some knowledge on us. All right, everybody. Jake Sisko guesses the IMDb score.
I want to say it was an 88. Again, I want to go with 88. Just under a nine.
Stubborn. Does anybody else have any guesses that doesn't already know?
That's what I was going to say.
7.5, 7.6.
Whoa.
Wow. Wow.
Damn. Whoa.
Yeah, he's
8.0.
Ouch.
Wow.
8.0. All right. Wow. All bets are in. The correct answer is 8.4. 8.4. Yeah. Pretty good. Pretty good.
So close.
Did we get a non-appearance? I guess Tasha Yar is a non-appearance mention, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What else?
No, because the actor is there.
Well, she we don't see her. Not as Tasha. Not as Tasha.
But yes, but... Okay.
What else, Chris McGee? Now,
Tasha Yar is not there.
No. Right.
Yar is not in that episode.
It's official.
All right.
And the sisters do mention their brother, Duras, who's not in this episode.
Great one, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What about some kind of or some sort of? I didn't catch any. I don't think there is one.
Either.
Okay. That's it. Now it's time for fun. Melissa Longo, will you please get us started off on the right track and tell us what you thought of this episode?
I thought this episode was a stinker. No, I'm just kidding. No, actually, I really enjoyed this episode quite a bit. I thought it was a great ensemble episode. There was a lot going on, but each part that was happening was really strong. With the stuff with the Klingons. I love Klingon history. It's so good. And I love that we get a resolution to what's happening between Gowron and the Duras family. Picard, he's on his game as always. I love Patrick Stewart and listening to him and watching him and listening to him because he's got this cadence to the way that he speaks that is different from others. And there's thoughtfulness behind his delivery. And yeah, I enjoy watching Patrick Stewart a lot. And Data, I love that Data stands up for himself multiple times in this episode. It was so good to see, and it was frustrating to see him get so challenged the way he did because he's an android. And best for last, Denise, oh, I love watching you. I love watching you because your performances are so rich. Oh, it draws me in. And so your scenes with Picard and yeah, your scenes with Picard talking about your mother. Ah, so good. So good. Yeah. Oh, I really enjoyed this very much. And I don't know who else can pull off this haircut, but
you did. The blonde Romulan. Oh my God. I know, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe so, Melissa could pull it off STLV next year. Well, you never know. Well, thank you very much for that, Melissa. Cool shirt, by the way. That's a new one. You can get yours, everybody, at Walking Art Made by Melissa at theintrovertedrepublic.com. Cool. All right, Jason M. Oaken, what's up? What did we miss today? What's so great about this episode?
Well, wigs and shoulder pads.
Very 80s. Very Terry Mugler. Very Terry Mugler. Right there.
Absolutely. I mean, it certainly jumps out at you. No, it's a wonderful episode. It's, you know, one thing that that is sometimes knock against sort of certainly 80s and 90s television, and frankly, Star Trek, is that it tends to move slowly. This does not move slowly. There's a lot of stuff packed here, and I like the fact that it begins with a bang. It begins with an action scene. I think it works a lot better than if they began with the observation lounge scene. That would have been draggy. So I think, you know, the fact that it begins with a bang and sort of draws us in is great. I mean, they put a lot of sort of, you know, obviously special effects money into that particular part of the show. And to me, I mean, it's absolutely wonderfully written by Ron Moore. I mean, anything that basically comes off his computer is tremendous. It's, you know, very well directed by David Carson, and it's probably one of the darkest episodes of The Next Generation you'll see. The lighting is very moody in certain spots, and probably because not a lot of it's happening on the bridge of the Enterprise that's lit very brightly. So you get a lot of that. And you know, last but certainly not least, it's held up by the acting. I think Patrick is very good in it. Brent, absolutely. And Denise, you know, one thing, what comes through here is, you know, in your performance, you don't really see Tasha in it. It's a different character. I mean, obviously, you know, it's you. There's, I don't see Tasha in the performance. And that, I think, and it's so difficult to pull off something like this. So I think, you know, that what stands out to me.
Well, thank you for that. Earlier, Ryan and Sirach and I were talking about the distinction. You know, people often ask me, you know, what's it like to play, you know, two different characters? And the distinction is that, you know, Tasha revered Picard and was, you know, an officer on his bridge. Sela is an equal, if not superior, in her mind, she feels to Picard. So right there, you have something to, you know, play with. And it was really sort of fun to come back, as I was telling these guys, to come back and mess with that a little bit with Patrick, you know, to not really hold my own with him.
Now, there's something regal about the performance. It's this sort of regal stature that comes through here, which is certainly not what, you know, Tasha's character was like. And I think it's great. I mean, yeah, you know, the way this is scripted, I mean, the Romulan that you're playing it with, in the script, he's called the Romulan General, and you sort of order him around. You don't see that in the episode. It seems like he is some sort of a, you know, lowly, you know, officer, but he's supposed to be a Romulan general.
Yeah, my father. Yeah.
So it's a wonderful, wonderful performance, marvelously done.
Thank you.
Wow, he does not hand out compliments, believe me. He's liked like three episodes so far in this whole series.
I am honored. Yeah. I am honored.
And thank you very much, Jason M. Oaken. We've got Chris Garris here, who's like just about every episode, though. What's up, Chris? What'd you think of this one?
Hey, no, as I've already said, it's a great episode. You know, this is one of those ones that I was thinking about today that, you know, the producers and writers gave us action, espionage, a little sexual tension, and they threw in some prejudice on top of it, you know, sprinkled a little prejudice in. And, you know, for me, when I was watching it, I was like, okay, so the beginning, the whole blockade, well, that's very reminiscent of the Cuban Missile Crisis. You know, we've got a... We don't want to start a fight, but we're going to, you know, monitor and see what you're doing. And so, you know, which I like, because I like the history of that part. And then you throw in, there was one thing that I was thought about Data when he would question why he didn't get picked, but I'll leave that for things left unsaid. And then you get into the part where, you know, Worf, he hasn't been around the Klingons enough. And so he is actually having hard time integrating with them. And like, he just couldn't understand why in the hell are we drinking with the enemy, you know, and his brother had to explain, basically that's just the way it is. Now, tomorrow when we're not drinking with them, we may kill them or they may kill us. So it was hard for him. He just had a real hard time integrating with that. And of course, the Duar sisters wanted to try and exploit that, which is where the sexual tension came in. And, you know, they're trying to persuade him to come to their side, which I don't understand the sisters. They're never going to get him. And of course, you know, there's, and then of course the prejudice that Data encountered, the instant he beamed onto that ship, you know, that other lieutenant commander wanted to have nothing to do with him. He figured he didn't value the lives, but he did. And yes, and like Melissa said, he held his guns and took care of it. And it's one time that, you know, guess what? Him being able to read all that data when he sits there reading the screen and able to realize, oh, wait, we need to do this. So let's stop. Let's go trigger it out. Huh, and they actually did help. And the one scene, or a couple of scenes that I really thought were good was, and I forgot Guinan. I don't know why I forgot Guinan was in the episode, but when she shows up, you know, she's telling, you know, Picard about what happened during yesterday's Enterprise and why Sela basically could have came about, because he sent Tasha Yar over to the Enterprise C, and his realization that he caused all this, but that he was basically the cause of this. And like someone else was saying, you're seen in the observation lounge with him. You're basically toe to toe with Picard the whole time, and you're not going to back down. I mean, you're not, you know, like you said, you know, Tasha, she respected the Captain Picard, you know, and all that, but as your Romulan counterpart, really, I felt like you were just as good of a tactician as he was, because he sat there and was trying to, you know, trick you to come in this hole that they opened. And you're like, and your, you know, your other guy was like, oh, we got a place to go. And you're like, no, he's trying to make that. So, yeah, I really felt like you were just on the same footing as you know, Picard was in this one. So, great episode. Looking forward to later on when we see you again.
Ooh, could it be possible?
Spoiler.
We'll see. I can't remember any of it.
Yeah. You know? Well, thank you very much, Chris Garris, out in Texas, the jewel of Texas. Eve England is here. She's a jewel as well. This is your first time watching this episode, though. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I mean, overall, I really enjoyed it. As Jason said, it was like jam-packed full of so much storytelling, so much actions, new characters, everything. It was just sort of quite overwhelming on a first watch. And obviously, absolutely amazing to have Denise back. And I have to say, when I first watched the previous episode, I was slightly worried I'd missed an episode. I was like, well, I don't understand why Tasha Yar's now a Romulan. So I did have to go back and rewatch that first one just to make sure I hadn't missed anything. But I think on that, it just felt to me that it could have been more than just those episodes. It just felt to me that there was so much going on that I think the, you know, the Romulan aspect could even have been more of a couple of episode arcs longer. It just felt a bit that they crammed so much in. I kind of wanted to see more on each of the different aspects. I mean, even, you know, the data part, as Chris just mentioned, that was really fascinating. But I felt that was kind of glossed over a little bit too quickly. And even, you know, the dynamics with Picard and Data at the start, where Picard kind of realizes that he's overlooked Data for command when he really shouldn't have. So I thought that was quite a sort of subtle piece that I really liked. So yeah, generally loved it. But again, I think then at the end, I kind of came away feeling a little bit sad for Tasha. And just, I was kind of a bit annoyed that they had to give Tasha such a horrible, tragic end again. And I kind of felt that, yes, Enterprise was sort of justice for that pointless death by Armus. And now when we find out that, okay, great, she survived that episode, but they then, you know, put her through 4 years of torture and abuse and captivity, and then she was, you know, murdered because her child hates her. I don't necessarily know whether they needed to make it quite that sad. And that's the sort of thing I took away thinking, I just wish it hadn't been quite so tragic, because that kind of, I still feel a bit depressed about how Tasha's had, in two parallel worlds, has had a really sad kind of life on that respect. You know, so that's the only thing.
That's so interesting, Eve, that you say that. And yes, you know, and to be betrayed by your own child.
Yeah, it's just,
you know, as a mother, it's really heartfelt. The other thing is, do we know that for certain? That story is true?
That's true.
Totally. It's totally possible that Sela is just being a Romulan.
There have been many, you know, times when I've talked with other, like the Star Trek Online folks who, you know, designed the game, and they have created a whole scenario where Tasha was in fact escaped. She escaped. and was living her life,
Awesome.
you know, as an outlaw, you know, and a renegade on a again, not the most optimum maybe scenario, but survived and knew how to survive and was living like she would know how to survive because she that is who she is. And I loved that idea. And that if you, I don't know if any of you guys play Star Trek Online, but I did the voice for both Tasha and Sela in this one iteration of the game. And Sela does come to find her mother living on this a barren outpost all this time, and she was in fact alive. So it's really kind of an interesting concept. You know, we don't know for sure.
No,
Yeah,
that
real.
was no, that's a better story. I like
Yeah,
that.
I
That
did
is,
too. I
yeah,
did too.
that's better. Because I suppose, yeah, you could see that that's maybe what the child was made to believe. I mean, she was only
Right.
four, so I guess four to
Absolutely. She
four.
wouldn't have.
She wouldn't
you know,
have known.
let's just say, you know, the baby's screaming and Tasha has to abandon the baby and has to make a break for it and gets out of there. But the Romulans being the Romulans, you know, they're not going to, you know, they're going to save face and, you know, stage this whatever execution. And in fact, that never happened. It's kind of an interesting, I like that story.
Oh yeah,
That's
no,
great.
yeah, that makes me feel much better.
Right?
That is
That's what I go to
yeah.
sleep with at night.
Very
Yeah,
good.
because it maybe Sela's really pissed off that Tasha left her and abandoned her, maybe, and she had to make up that story to deal with it. So,
There's
yeah, well, all this stuff.
as we
Yeah.
know, the complexities, you know, that we the stories we write for ourselves to hear, you know, and
Yeah.
survive. This is very possible. Or, you know, certainly that's the story her father gave. And if you're only hearing, you know, one
Yes.
story, that story becomes yours.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I feel much better. Thank you.
Yeah, me
Thank
too,
you. I still
actually.
do it from up. I love talking about this. It's making me think, you know, because I haven't seen this in 30 something years. And wow, yeah. It's wonderful to hear your perspective that, God, wow, that's a horrible thing again. I mean, not only does this poor child, you know, is an abandoned orphan on a, you know, failed Earth colony, and then she dies from Armus, and then she's executed by the Romulans. I mean, how much, you know, she's Christ-like at this point. You know, she's like resurrected. I kind of like that. What we were just talking about, though, that she did escape.
Yeah. Shout out to our friends over at Star Trek Online. That's really cool stuff. First I heard of that. Eve England, thank you so much for that. And cool sweater, by the way, the isolinear chip. Chuck A, the TNG fanatic. You're a fanatic of TNG. What do you think of this one?
Well, I thought they couldn't surpass Redemption Part One, but this I like Part Two much better. A lot more action that was mentioned. I love the Klingons in it. You can never have too many Klingons, I guess. Bob O'Reilly was wonderful in his limited scenes. He wasn't in it as much, maybe as Worf and Kern, but I loved the not today line. That was like the best line. Rest in peace, Tony Todd. He was wonderful in this. The Duras sisters, like was mentioned, was had a lot of sexual tension with Picard and Worf. One thing I didn't understand was when they were holding Worf, and Sela came on the view screen. Worf didn't really have a reaction at all. Like, hey, isn't
Yeah, I
that
noticed that
Tasha
too.
Yar? Yeah, I don't know if that was an omission or what it was, but every time I see the episode, I notice that. And but the action sequences were wonderful, and as mentioned, Patrick Stewart and Brent Spiner were just awesome. I love Data's reaction to the Commander Hobson, and he wasn't taking a guff from him. He really told him to stay in line, but the bluffing of the blockade was a wonderful tactic, and of course Data read into it. When the Romulans were coming in with the cloaking device. But it was just a wonderful episode. Denise, you were just awesome in the episode. For some reason, Denise, you look like both like Tasha Yar and Sela. I couldn't figure it out why.
Played by the same person.
But it was just a wonderful episode. I resemble
you mentioned it.
I get that one.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Chuck A, aka TNG Fanatic. All right, Justin Weir, hanging out. It's so good to see you. Welcome back. What do you think of this episode?
Well, welcome back, Denise Crosby. It's lovely to see you again. This is one of my favorite episodes of TNG, I think. I did not prepare, but Carrie dragged me into this, and I'm here. Since Tony Todd passed away, and I'm a big horror movie fan, and he's part of that too. Just I relish every time I see him on screen, and he was so good in that opening scene. And we are seeing the special effects as they're happening, but he's just acting it, and it's so good. Dave Gregory and I were talking earlier, and he made a good point when Data, when it's like the climax, and he's saying fire, and he gets so snippy with his fire. Fire. Tasha looking like Sela. I'm gonna quote Rutherford. I don't see it. Also, it was driving me crazy. What's the guy's name? Hobson, the guy who was giving Data a hard time. I was like, I know him from something. Obviously, he's been in a lot of things, but he was in Black Sheep. That's what I know him from.
Cool.
Chris Farley's brother. He was like the guy working for his brother, like the hard ass of the show. Anyways, I have a limerick I prepared. No, I'm just kidding. That's good.
Carrie's
thank
pissed.
You. Oh, okay.
Thank you very much, Justin Weir. Carrie's like, give me my limerick back. Carrie Schwent is here. What's up, Carrie? What'd you think of this episode? And do you have a limerick?
I do. Which I will save for the end. But yes, I love this episode. This episode has my husband's favorite line of yours, Denise's: "The silence the child or send him away." It's absolutely one of the best lines.
Say the line again.
Silence the child or send him away.
Oh,
with the little pitch-pitch and stuff yapping behind you. Love that you just put him directly in his place, and I love it. My notes are a little scattered. I was traveling today, so bear with me. And of course, I love any Klingon episode. Bob O'Reilly and his eyes always make my heart warm. Lursa and Baytor, I've gushed over them before, and I love that when Baytor is trying to seduce him, he's half asleep. He actually thought about it for like half a second until he woke the rest of the way up. And he's like, oh, wait, nope, never mind. I think those two, if they hadn't been going, Duras family, those two might have been potentially an interesting couple, but they have no honor. So bye with them. And speaking of Worf, I could be wrong on this, but I think Worf is owed an apology from Picard because he wanted like the Federation's help in some way because of the Romulans. Picard says no, so he quits, and then Picard comes up with the idea for the blockade, and then after that's all done, Worf wants to come back, and Picard says okay. I think that's my headcanon says that was his way of apologizing for making him leave to go help with all of that. And the guest stars are fantastic. The Klingon guy, I wrote his name down. The Larg.
Oh, Larg. Captain Larg.
With when Worf and his brother are together. Him and Dobson are both kind of that guy. Like, I know him from a lot of stuff, but not enough to really make an impact. But the female admiral that Picard talks to,
Shanti.
her, I loved her voice. I knew her, and when I looked checked her IMDb, I realized what I remembered her from. And she is also has been in a fantastic horror movie. She's plays a doctor in Wes Craven's New Nightmare. And she is fantastic in that. She does awesome with the creepy. It's been a few years since I've seen that movie, so I don't remember specifics, but I remembered her voice especially
She was known for her voice.
from that. I love Cela. I think the way it made sense in my head is she's got all of the awesome qualities that Tasha had, but gives them a sort of a Romulan twist. And yeah, she's I you this is the whole standing up. I love the haircut. I love the Romulan shoulder pads. I think they're fantastic.
You notice the
But
ears?
I grew up
Look
as a
at the
kid in the
ear.
80s, so I love
Yes.
Yeah, we saw it.
The ears, yeah, the ears are fantastic. Oh, did I get everything? Yes. Okay. So for the limerick, I thought briefly about the silence of child or send him away, but that wasn't sparking anything. Kern says something along the lines of time to celebrate, for tomorrow we all may die. That started getting the wheels turning, and then Dobson saying something about a Klingon not making a good ship's counselor. That was the light bulb moment. So that's where I came up with the limerick. Is this is from a Klingon counseling someone who's just been in battle and is not doing very well with it. So here we go. Let's see if I can read my scribbly handwriting. Oh, here we go. I think you should examine this feeling, why the haze of battle leaves you reeling, and the crying of your foes make your inner doubts grow. This must be why my help you are seeking. I
Poignant.
think a Klingon would make a fantastic counselor.
I like that crispy.
All right. Thank you very much, Carrie Schwent and Justin Weir. The Dark Lord, Chris McGee, is here. Dark Lord, what'd you think of this one?
Well, despite my prediction of the IMDb score, I think it's a great conclusion to last season's cliffhanger. I will say, however, that while watching this episode again last night, I got the impression that there were three distinct stories merged together in one: the Klingon Civil War, Data's First Command, and the Cela Tasha Yar story. This isn't a criticism. Perhaps neither of those stories would merit a full episode on their own, so maybe combining them into this episode is what m helped to make it as good as it is. We did get quite a gruesome opening scene with shrapnel embedded in a Klingon's face, but hey, at least we started off the episode with a bang, right? And how many of you noticed the different opening scene, opening credits, rather, excuse me, this season with the trail effect on the title card? I'm willing to bet very few, because most of you skip past the opening credits like the patots you are. Sorry, my Dark Lord was showing.
Excellent.
What little hair I have definitely curled watching those Klingons laughing in the bar. I think Timothy Carhart, who played Hobson, did a good job portraying the prejudiced officer. At one point, I noticed when he says, "You heard the captain, everyone," you can see him sneer slightly at the word captain, as if you were putting air quotes around the word. And regarding the end of the episode, surely Worf sparing Toral's life won't have any repercussions. There were two very distinct memorable quotes this episode. Carrie Shunt mentioned one of them, so I'm going with my favorite quote, which is from Picard. "The claim, 'I was only following orders,' has been used to justify too many tragedies in our history."
You know, I predicted that would be your quote of the episode because it's a damn fine one.
I'm so
And
obvious.
Chris McGee, it looks like those stand-up comedy lessons are paying off. Great stuff. Thank you very much for that. All right, Jake's final take. Final thoughts on this, Ciroc?
I thought that it was interesting that, the thing that was being used against Data as far as prejudice is actually the thing that was the problem solver in this particular episode. So it's kind of like, they talk about the rejected stone becoming the cornerstone. And I feel like in this particular episode, Data was kind of the rejected stone becoming the cornerstone of this critical problem. I love the music in this episode. I thought it was ominous. It complemented the storytelling. And Star Trek has a habit of just hitting it out of the park with music and scoring, but this one was exceptionally well. I actually did like it better than the first part one. I just thought it had so much stuff in it. Yeah, that Klingon bar, it reminded me of like a football locker room or something, or just everybody's just acting crazy. Gowron, when the option came up to fight, he was so excited in his eyes to love the opportunity, to relish in the opportunity to fight this guy. Like you could see him light up with happiness, like, oh, you want to fight? All right, this is what I was asking for. So I love that. And I also love the way he delivered that line when he says about Worf, he says, I hope he dies well. It's like, oh,
Rude.
thank you. Is that a is that a thank you there? I don't know what goes, but also like Picard's line when he says Starfleet doesn't want officers that blindly follow orders. And I think that's proven to be true when we see go back to Kirk and see the kind of decisions he's made in the past. So yeah, they don't want officers. They want people who can think on the fly, and sometimes that's requires bending or breaking rules. And then my last thing I'm going to say is I heard Data say, by order of Starfleet, I hereby take command of this vessel. And I think he said that to Tasha Yar as a pillow talk.
Oh,
Yeah.
wowie. We just got a call from CBS. Sorry, we're off the
Oh my goodness.
Denise,
A
any
way
final
to
thoughts to
start
follow that
the new year. What do you expect me to do now, Lord God Almighty? Well, it was really, right? It was really cool to watch and reunite with Sela. It's been a, it's been a long time, and I just I really got a kick out of this character and this. Taking the command in that way and embodying that, I really stepped into it. It was a complicated, it's a daunting thing to do. I'm the same person, but I'm moving to a different character. So what props, what tools do I have to do that? And the one thing that was so fun to watch was just that scene with Picard, that I just the way I sat on the edge of that table, with her lips up,
So
and
good.
she
I love
said,
that.
just said, and she just every moment she could take with him. And it was I was there's a lot going on there for real. It's like Denise and Patrick are now playing for real, because it's I left the show on my own accord. I, wasn't, certainly wasn't to insult him in any way, but now I've been brought back and I'm going to step into this. I'm going to go toe to toe with you. And I've got something to prove a little bit. And that was what I was carrying in that scene, And that was fun to watch. I'd forgotten that. I'd forgotten that that was it, I remember it was a little memory of mine now to watch that again. The other thing that's interesting to me, because we're talking about Data and the obvious prejudice of Hobson in this particular role that he's stepping into, and it's so blatant and so so in your face. But here we are, at the precipice of AI, and so what that makes me think about is, well, yeah, the machine is going to make decisions on their own. Even though the outcome was beneficial, the outcome was right, but it was in, contrast to command, to authority. They decided on their own to go this way. And that's the whole crux of the fear of AI right now is, where are you gonna, what if that machine feels, no, I got this. This is a better way to go. And that's what everyone's afraid of. So that's what, this triggered in for me, that particular, and how, God, what are we talking about? 35 years ago or whatever, 30 years ago, this was made. So it brings up that too, not just the, oh, you're a machine, you can't rule me, but wow, he went rogue. And so, just interesting stuff we're dealing with. But again, overall, this was really fun for me to catch and see again and be reminded of this character, It's been a long time. That was fun.
Hope to see her again. Hope to see you again. That's it for us, everybody at home. Unless you're a patron, then stick around for things left unsaid. Everybody, please make sure you like this video, subscribe to the channel, hit the bell icon for notifications. If you're listening in, give us a 5-star rating and a nice review. We'd really appreciate that. Go ahead and find us on patreon.com/the7th rule and hang out with us there. And by hang out with us, I mean throw money at us. All right. Thank you to Chris McGee, Carrie Schwent, Justin Weir, Chuck A, Eve England out in Wales. It's getting real late for her. Chris Garrison, Texas, Jason M. Oaken, Melissa Longo for myself, Siroc, Denise, Melissa, Aaron Eisenberg. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We'll see you next time. And until then, always remember the 7th rule.